Hey, we're back for another episode of Your Natural Best. I'm your host, Dwayne, here with Sarah and Eric. And man, this is episode 2. And yeah, we got on the same clothes because we recorded it right after. I'm just going to be real, man. We real, real, son. This is natural. We're natural.
We're our natural best right here.
Yeah, our natural best. No, legit. You know, not much time has passed, but we want to kind of talk about, dig a little deeper. We kind of gave our intros last episode, and just kind of dig a little deeper, even in the terms, man, because as we was coming up with what the topic was going to be, you know, we was going to talk about prep and what that looks like and all of that. And I remember people saying prep, and I like, prep, what is that, man? So Eric, could you define prep for those that don't know what that little that
oh,
means?
Oh, man. So, so let's break it down to the simple terms. Prep is short for preparation. You know, so preparation or prep is the duration of time that you are, you know, seriously dieting. You're seriously, you know, following a regimen and being consistent for an end goal, which is your show. So preps can vary in length. Prep can vary in difficulty. It just really depends on, you know, the person and how well of a starting point they have. So the myth of, you know, 12-week prep, 16-week prep, or, you know, even 20-week preps, and saying that all preps are the same is a very false statement.
So all preps aren't the same?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Sarah, what's your, when it comes, he defined it for us. Do you have a different perspective? Because that's a good thing about having a female bodybuilder as well. Got more perspective. It opens the, you know, what is your definition, or how do you define, or how you even talk about prep?
Yeah, I actually completely agree with that. It really just depends on the person and what your goals are and if you've competed before or not. I've done it both ways, actually. I've done a 12-week prep, I've done 14, and I've done a 6-month prep. So this last show that I did, I did a really, really long prep, which honestly was my favorite way to do it, because I work really, really hard to build muscle, and I'm constantly, that's my goal always, is to build. And so when I'm trying to lose weight, I'm really conscientious of preserving that muscle. So I feel like if your prep is too short, you're just, your cardio's high, your calories are low, and you're going to lose the fat, but you're also going to lose some muscle. So I prefer just to, you know, just do a long-term prep where you can lose the fat slowly, preserve the muscle, not stress yourself out, and just have your cortisol levels go through the roof, and just kind of just be a little less stressful overall.
Nice. Yeah. You know, recently I've kind of become friends with this guy named Lee, and Lee actually did a 30-day prep for his show, which was impressive and intense. And I remember when me and Eric was talking and we were trying to find a show, you know, he was like, you know, you want to pick some next year? I was like, next year? Like, man, Charlotte's like 3 weeks. You know, it didn't come to my mind, man, what all entails. So for those, you know, that, okay, now we know what prep is, those that might be interested, and y'all already kind of covered the duration.
You're going to skip over something. Don't want to cut you off. But
go ahead, please.
How long have you been on prep, sir? And how long was recommended for you to be on prep?
I don't know, honestly. Let me be real, son. I didn't start counting until like just a few weeks ago.
So if anybody don't know, I am Dwayne's coach, so I'll try to give you coaching perspective as well. I always recommend, of course, when we start, to do at least 20 weeks. And that's basically because most people don't realize that for your first prep ever, you usually have, you know, anywhere between 30 to 40 pounds to lose. And a lot of people are like, hey, where's that going to come from? But I think Dwayne has been on prep. His total prep will probably be 24 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. So pretty long time. So, yeah.
I don't know. I just remember when it got to like 16, I hit the calendar and I was like, oh, okay, 16. But no, it's funny that you mentioned that, man, because I remember when you was like, yeah, you know, we're looking at about 165, 175. And I was like, who are we talking about? Like my son in 11th grade? Like what? And as of this morning, you know, 175, you know, the other day 174. So it's just one of those things about being coachable. You know, talking about prep and talking about coaching, you know, when it comes to that, how do you kind of determine, you know, what made you decide to do the long prep? Like, what was it, like, over experience, or what was that thing?
Yeah, I think it just really depends on the person and how much weight you have to lose. Like, if you're someone who stays fairly lean in your off season, then and you're more of just in a maintenance, you probably just need to, your prep can be a little bit shorter because you only have maybe 10 pounds if you're a woman, 10 pounds to lose. For me, I usually go about 25 to 30 pounds over my stage weight. So, and I just don't want to be stressed out. Like, oh my gosh, I have got to make a certain weight each week. And plus that makes it hard for manipulating your diet. And really you need to give yourself lots of time, because I like to pull things out of my diet slowly. Like, okay, this week I'm going to give up this and this and this. I eat fairly clean year round. But there's certain things that I allow myself in the off season where I like to pull out slowly, because you want to be able to take things away and still keep calories at a reasonable number. And I prefer to up my cardio and keep my calories fairly high. I don't want to drop my calories too low, or my body's just going to stall out and my body's going to hang on to that calories that I'm getting and refuse to drop weight. And then I'm kind of stuck. So yeah, I think I just like the longer prep because it's just a lot less stress and I have more time. And if I go a week when I step on the scale and I didn't lose anything, I mean, that happens. Like, for my body, I've competed for so long, I've really learned over time exactly how my body works and drops weight. So I'll go a week and I won't lose anything, and then I'll go a week and I'll lose 3 pounds. And then I'll go a week where I'll lose 2 pounds, and then a week where I will lose nothing, and then 3 pounds again. So, you know, you just have to learn to give yourself enough time so that you don't stress out on the weeks where you don't really drop weight.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, E, from a coach / athlete perspective, just when it comes to, you know, those details as far as prep goes and you know, duration and how do you approach it, like tell me a like perfect scenario that you may have experienced or coached, and a absolute worst scenario for experienced coach.
Gotcha. So I'll give you the two scenarios after this. Well, I'll say one thing first. The one thing about the durations of preps is I prefer longer preps as well, due to the fact that we having time for slip ups. Like, the one, I guess, thought is that bodybuilders are perfect. Like, we're robots. We just, you know, do everything to 100% T. And, you know, that's not true. Like, just like in, you know, E2M, just like in anything, we see or clients who, you know, they have one bad day or one bad meal and, you know, they throw it all away. So just somebody who, you know, all of us, you know, about to compete or have competed at the highest level, just to show that true authentic side that nobody's perfect. Like, I've never been 100% on a diet. That's just me speaking. And I competed in one, you know, one of the highest things. So just putting that out there. But then, for a perfect prep, I have prepped somebody for 24 weeks, and everybody's like, how is that perfect? I was able to pull this person cardio out 12 weeks out. Their calories stayed at a pretty decent amount of food. So for me, the execution of that and the person wanted to show, they probably came in like 3% body fat. That was perfect for me. You know, we didn't have any hiccups. We didn't have any, you know, trying to have to fix anything last minute. And I think maybe the worst prep, or I mean, it might have been myself, and I'll put myself out there. I was in a place mentally where I couldn't lock in for a show, and my coaches didn't want to, you know, do a certain thing where, you know, pull food and make me do the cardio. So I took it upon myself to, you know, kind of crash diet, which is, you know, pulling a lot of calories to try to look presentable on stage, because at the end of the day, I'm the one that did the damage. But my coaches, you know, allowed it, but they weren't going to do it. So I felt like if I had to put myself through it, then, you know, I had to go through with it. But for two scenarios, like I said, I was probably the worst case scenario. And then one of my athletes that I could pull cardio, that's always ideal. Keeping cardio low and food high on prep. So
yeah. Yeah. I remember you telling me that scenario. I was hoping that was going to be me. Did not happen this time. I was hoping. Nah, man. No, that's super dope, man. And you know, as I'm learning, you know, prep and just this whole experience, what I found is that, you know, from week to week, it's subject to change. You know, like literally, you know, you can feel like things are locked in, because right now for me it's mental. Like in the beginning, like, you know, it's whatever. I'm E2M trained, so I got, you know, I'm a list guy. Like whatever you tell me, I'm gonna do. But these last couple of days, it's been like, you know, the snack demon, he be coming in on my shoulder, you know, and then the other one over there, man. But one of the things that I heard online, of course, social media, they were saying that with bodybuilders, like, okay, bodybuilders, the difference, and you might even say that, Eric, but like an NBA basketball player, they can play a game and then the game's over, then go out for drinks, you know, and party. You know, NFL player, they can play a game. After the game, they can go out for drinks, party, you know, have a good time. Bodybuilder, we got to stay on like the whole time, every day. You know, that ain't even a question. That's just a statement. Like, that's just one of the unique things about this sport that I think a lot of people don't understand, man. And I don't know if y'all want to speak to that, just the uniqueness of that when it comes to that in prep. Nope, nobody.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I did say something like that along the lines of that.
Yeah.
There is no off switch for bodybuilding.
Right.
Most other sports, and, I mean, people can debate with me, or you don't have to. You'll debate with somebody else. But it's like with bodybuilding, you can't turn it off. Your sleep regimen is important. The time you wake up, the time you work out, from sun up to sundown, you're constantly – everything you do is a result towards the next day. Anything that negative that happens in the day, even in like a stress at work or stress at that, can throw off your whole day. People who stress eat, if you have a bad day, you may throw off your diet. So like I said, in any other sport, you can mentally clock out, or like during a game, you just got to be locked in for maybe 30, 48 minutes. But then after that time is over with, you can go deal with it, whatever you have to do. But with bodybuilding, like you said, you're probably not drinking. Sometimes you're not going out. Sometimes you just control all the controllables, which means sometimes you put yourself in a box, you know, to stay mentally sane from certain things. So, yeah, there's no off switch. So, to me, bodybuilding has probably been the hardest sport I ever competed in.
Mm. What about you, Sarah? Anything you want to?
Yeah, I agree. I've done multiple sports in my life. I've done cheerleading and volleyball and soccer, and this is definitely the most difficult, but to me, the most rewarding, because you're pushing your body to that absolute limit. You're seeing what you're capable of mentally and physically, and you're just wowed. Like, every time you do a new show, your body does something new that it didn't do before. I know for me personally, I just wanted to be vascular so bad. I just thought it was the coolest thing. I wanted these veins popping out. Never had that. And then this past show, finally, like, it was just amazing, because like a couple days before the show, I was just like, this is so cool. Like, veins just running down your arms. And then honestly, even after the show is even better, you look even more amazing after your show's over. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's super rewarding, and I love it. It's really challenging, but it's worth it.
Nice. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. So, I mean, even, you know, like I said, the minimal experience that I have, you know, I definitely recognize the no off switch, and it's definitely been a challenge and different than any other sport I competed in as well. It's funny, I was gonna say, make a joke, you know, all the other athletes, because I think about Kobe Bryant, how they say, like, after the game, he'll still go and shoot. Like, he never went and drunk after the game. He went back to the gym, man, and like he would be the ultimate bodybuilder, man, because like they said he never turned it off, man. So I don't know, I just thought about that when we were talking about that, man. So also, you know, when it comes to preparation, and you know, we're all doing it on the natural aspect of it, and we just want to kind of throw it out there, man. You know, we know in the bodybuilding sport that there are enhancements, and so we don't want y'all blowing up the comment section. We're not haters of enhancement. That's just not the route that we chose to take. And honestly, I mean, I'm curious, E. I mean, we'll probably dive into this a little, you know, in other episodes, man. But what was your reasoning for doing it in the natural way?
So, I actually started in, because there's multiple federations. We're not going to get too deep in the weeds about that. So I competed actually in the non-tested organizations first. So I got my feet wet over there, not saying using drugs, but I competed against people who were enhanced. And, you know, I tried my hat. I placed, you know, top three in every show I did over there. And, I mean, it was a gratifying feeling or a satisfying feeling until, you know, someone was like, hey, you know, there's natural organizations. So, you know, I went to a natural organization and won my first show there. And then you get that, you know, infamous pro title in front of it. So then after that, they were like, hey, you can make money. And I was like, how much, you know? So that's where my wheel started spinning. And then ever since then, I mean, it took me maybe about 2 years to, you know, climb the ranks and, you know, start winning pro shows. But then after that, something just clicked for me to say, hey, we're comparing apples and oranges over there. Compare me apples to apples. Because the main thing about natural bodybuilding is it's really based on three different things. Like, it's based on genetics. It's based on, you know, how hard you work. And basically, if you could follow a regimen, like, is your coaching good? Is your genetics good? And how hard do you work out, or how hard are you willing to push yourself? And if you got those three things, then, I mean, you can climb the ranks pretty fast, because that's what everybody else has. There's no extra factor, you know, boosting or pushing anybody else forward.
Very true. What about you, sir? What made you decide to go that route, or, you know, stick to that route? I don't know. Like, what's your background on that?
Right. So I was in the same boat. I competed with multiple organizations. I did many, many NPC shows that were not drug tested. And I always did well, but at an amateur level. And I knew that I wanted to climb the ladder. And if I wanted to keep going in certain organizations, I knew that to be competitive, I would have to get on gear. And I just wanted to see what my body was capable of without doing that. No judgment from me whatsoever. I would never, ever. I idolize some people who choose not to and choose to do gear. I look at both body types and I just think that I know the amount of dedication that goes into either type of, you know, whether you decide to do gear or not. And personally, I just wanted to push myself and see what I was capable of, you know, naturally. So to climb the ladder, I decided to go the natural route and I wanted to go pro. That was my goal. And that was, you know, and I accomplished that. I did well at the amateur and then I went pro, and now I'm looking at doing some pro shows moving forward. So yeah,
that was it. So my short answer is I'm scared of needles.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, that's that buck stops there, man. But again, you know, not coming at nobody, but I think I might be the elder statesman on this podcast. I'm 42, so I think I'm not going to ask you, Sarah, because that's illegal. But I think I'm one of the elder statesmen up here. But, you know, in this stage in my life, you know, it really was, what can I accomplish? You know, you're not saying, because I guess one misunderstanding is if you are enhanced, it's like an automatic. There's some work that goes involved. Like, absolutely. You have to put in work still, even though you're enhanced. But so for me, it was, what can I accomplish, you know, myself? And that was that was one of the many, because you got to think about who my influences were. You know, my influence was Jeff, my influence was the other Jeff, my influence is Eric, you know? And so, that was the circles I was around. So it was like, why wouldn't I, you know? And that was the reason why I chose that route, man. So, man, really good episode 2. I'm excited because I know there's a lot of potential and there's a lot of topics and a lot of different directions we can go. And to be able to sit down with two pros and a soon-to-be-retired amateur, maybe pro, who knows, in the next 2 weeks. But no, to be able to sit down and have people that are in three different spectrums and three different parts of their bodybuilding journey, I think this would be a a conversation that's sought after. So, all right, again, so y'all need to start getting your closes together, because I'm gonna give you a chance to anything you want to close with. So, Sarah, anything you want to close with for this episode?
You know, just that whether you decide to be a natural athlete or if you decide to go on gear, either way, it's just, you know, it's going to take a lot of work, but you can, you know, just tunnel vision. You can do it. Stick with the diet, stick with the working out, and just whatever your goals are, just push forward and just know that you can do it. And I'm rooting for you. That's it.
All right.
Once again, let me stop.
a few words.
But no, just remember, kind of just to hint back at the, you know, title we use, you know, preparation is more than just bodybuilding. It's more than just fitness. Preparation is more so just for life, you know. Getting yourself ready, being consistent in anything, you know, will get you far. So a little bit of motivation for y'all.
And mine is, I'm scared of needles. Yeah, take next time. We'll be out of here. Peace.